teenagers.
Damn.
I am your enthusiastic host, Dutters. Am I hosting? I'm not your enthusiastic host, Dutters. Join with me today, we have Adam. Say hello.
I was eating a bit of chocolate.
And we have Aaron. Say hello.
Hello.
Wow, you actually said hello. Didn't know. Anyway, wow, okay. All right, this just took a real serious turn there.
Hurry the fuck up.
Well, that's it. That's what are we drinking?
Let's start it the way we always start it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We're going to start with what you drinking.
Oh, me? It goes to me?
Well, let's go with you first.
I've got the Left Hand Milk Stout Nitro, which is apparently America's Stout. 12 fluid ounces of glorious dark beer that has a brewed on the banks of the mighty St. Vrain. Super smooth with soft roastiness, and mocha notes. 6% alcohol by volume. Enjoy at 40 to 45 degrees in a pub glass. Pour hard, admire, and enjoy. Its ingredients include...
Okay, so... Wait, maybe this will answer it. What makes a milk stout milk?
Hell if I know.
You milk it out of the...
I really thought that you guys would have an answer to that. Like, it's not really milk. It's just a milky, texture.
According to this, I don't know that it has anything different in it other than... I mean, it's maybe a little sweeter. Like, whenever I have milk stouts, they tend to be a little sweeter than just a regular stout.
Yeah, it's either an ingredient or a brewing process. I don't know. I'm not a beer aficionado.
And I'm not a brewmaster. That would be an awesome fucking title. Yes. What do you do for a living? I'm a brewmaster.
Kiss my ass.
All right, on to you, Aaron. What do you got?
I'm drinking a weird beer by the Lagunitas Brewing Company. They are from Petaluma, California. And it's called the Undercover Investigation Shutdown Ale.
Holy shit.
I saw the label, and I've had their IPA before, and it's excellent. It's like a staple of the IPA drinking folks.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just so weird, I had to try it. And it's pretty good. I like it. It's a limited release.
Nice.
Your turn.
I have Torch from Pilsner, which is of Dutter's hometown.
No, it's...
It says Winston-Salem.
It's a Torch Pilsner from Foothills.
From Foothills, which is based out of Winston-Salem, so... There you go. It's really good.
The hyphen.
W-S.
I probably shouldn't adulterate the taste with a fun-size Twix, but what are you going to do?
At least you're not eating those little tiny chocolate bunnies.
No, I ate all of them.
Oh, man. Easter just came and passed, and we have to shout these things out. Dutter's girlfriend brought out a nice little packet of these micro chocolate bunnies.
Russell Stover's.
They were really good.
Are they called itty bitty bunnies?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, I could ask her what they...
How was your Easter?
It was fine. We I visited my in-laws. In-laws-ish. I don't know. My long-term girlfriend's family. That's who I visited.
Nice.
Yeah. And that was fun. I mean, it was Eastery. I got a book on Stickley Craftsman Furniture.
Ooh. Nice, for, nice. Arts and crafts.
Easter gift. Yeah.
Good.
Do anything?
Aside from hanging out at your place.
That was the day before, though.
Was it?
Yeah,
I can't remember. Saturday. Everything bleeds together. We built two raised gardens outside.
That's right. Yeah, Leah told me about that. She showed me the picture of Sarah dressed as Farmer Sarah.
Yeah.
The nice plaid.
Some of that sustainable culture.
Awesome. What'd you plant?
Mm. Two different kinds of peppers, 4 different kinds of tomatoes, basil, cilantro, dill. I'm blanking on... Oh, marigolds. Apparently, I learned something new this weekend. Last weekend. Marigolds apparently ward off pest bugs.
Cool.
Had no idea.
Well, it sounds like we're going over to your place for homemade pasta sauce.
When it eventually grows, yes.
Sauce!
Yeah, I went home to my parents' place in Wake Forest and had dinner with them. And my brother was back from Camp Lejeune. My other brother had to eat and hurry up to work. which
where does he work?
Harris Teeter.
Nice.
The teat.
Well, he's 17. And,
he works the teat.
He's got responsibilities, and he's getting it. Oh, crap. He got his license this week when he's driving a Volkswagen GTI.
You hear that, then, folks?
Oh, I got to
watch
tell you.
The hell out for Volkswagen GTIs.
Yeah. So my brother has to leave to go back to camp, and he gets in his pickup truck, and this is the first time he's ever taken his truck back to Camp Lejeune. And he backs out and hits my other brother's car and busts the fucking grill to shit. And it was so funny. He's like, I wasn't paying attention. And my stepdad comes out. He's like, just go. And then, I'm laughing as Bill's trying to,
he promoted him
what
for
to do
fleeing the scene of an accident.
Well, I mean, it was like, what were you going to do? It's fucking plastic. So we go on eBay, and, a new grill is, $100, and Bill's just whatever. What are you gonna do? I just thought it was funny that the kid hasn't even.
Man, just take some chicken wire and duct tape it on the front of the car. Well, you got yourself perfectly good.
It's funny,
grill.
The 17-year-old, he hasn't even gotten his license. He's already technically been in his first accident.
17. He waited a little while.
I guess he had to wait an extra year. I don't know.
Because I think it's when I got mine when I was 15 and a half. I got my learner's permit, and then. And then I got my actual license at 16, but I still couldn't drive after 9.
Oh yeah,
you remember? Yeah. I don't know if they still do that.
No, you know what's funny? I waited till I was 18.
Why?
Well, because I moved from Florida, and when
Florida
had this, you only needed
any of our listeners in Florida. I'm sorry,
you only needed your permit for 6 months if you were in Florida at that time, and then I didn't get my permit in Florida. Instead, they were like, if you got your permit in Florida and you moved to North Carolina, you're just going to have to redo this anyway. So I just got annoyed and decided I'd wait till I was 18 so I didn't have to wait 6 months or wait the full year and then have the 9 p.m. curfew thing. Anyway, this is boring. Let's get on topic here. Sorry.
You saw your family for Easter.
Yeah. It's family stuff.
We hope all of our listeners had fun.
You know, I bring it up because... my brother at Camp Lejeune, little shout out, is a huge Dan Mart Majors fan. In fact, when he was at Easter, he started quoting things that you said. And he's like,
yes!
Nice.
Yeah,
yes!
You got your own fanboy.
Absolutely loved the hand story. So,
God.
Speaking of fans, and I'm not even going to call them fans. Let's never use the word fans. Let's say listeners, because... you could listen to us and not actually like us.
Acolytes.
There you go. Damn.
Pledges.
Daminators.
No.
You don't like that? Daminators?
No. We can do better. We can definitely do better than Daminators. Let's not do better now. Silence doesn't go over well.
All right. Well, this has actually been a pretty big week for Damn Art Majors in general. We are now featured on iTunes.
We internet famous.
As well as podomatic.com. If you want to check us out, please stop.
I hadn't heard of it either until Adam added us on it.
Yeah.
And apparently we climbed the ranks in less than a week and a half.
Because we're fucking badass.
So check us out at damnartmajors.podomatic.com. We are currently in the number one position for their design pods.
Out of what, 900?
I don't really know how many design pods they had, but we went from 5 to 1 in 3 days.
So there's nice. Probably 5.
Yeah, probably.
Or 15.
We are ranked something currently 900 and change out of 5,000 of all the podcasts on Podomatic. So, I mean, 900 doesn't sound that great, but we climbed 200 spots in a day.
Yeah.
So that's we're really building momentum, and that's all thanks to you guys out there. So
thank you.
As a thank you, Aaron finally went ahead and started the Damn Art Major Twitter account. So now you can tweet us and tweet Aaron and let him know everything you want to tell him at Damn Art Majors.
Yes, at Damn Art Majors. You can send us updates, feedback, comments, hate mail, pictures of your pets, and ideas for new segments or topics.
And if you can get us to number one on Podomatic, I think Aaron will do a custom voicemail. So he will straight up pull a Carl Castle and leave a custom voicemail for you or on your cell phone.
I would love to do custom voicemails.
He could do the George Takei voicemail.
Or if you donate, $100 by clicking the PayPal donate button on the Podomatic, Aaron will do a custom voicemail for you.
You know what? If you donate fucking $10, Aaron will do a custom voicemail.
If you donate less than $10, then I will do a custom voicemail.
Yes, I will call any number you like and leave a custom voicemail.
That's the thing about the artmajors.podomatic.com. There is a donate button. Any kind of proceeds we get from you guys, the listeners, it would go to new equipment for the show, web hosting, stickers, promotional stuff, sandwiches.
Basically, we'd use it as startup money so that we can sell you more stuff.
I would say potentially...
if you donate, we'll send you some free stuff.
Potentially travel as well. We've been talking about taking this on the road because some people that we would like to have as guests on the podcast can't make it. They have their own lives to fulfill. So we could potentially go to them and...
Because we don't.
Yes, we don't.
Lives.
No. I'm jobless.
No, you're not.
In another realm.
Okay. Maybe you are. I haven't seen you in a week.
No.
Not this week.
I'm still gainfully employed for the time.
This week. And also, the last thing we're going to shout out, if for whatever reason you have a long-winded message that you want directly sent to us, you can email us at damnartmajors@gmail.com.
Ideas, too.
Ideas.
Yep.
And we'll, maybe if you send us really terrible emails, we'll just read them. We'll probably make fun of you, but we won't tell people who you are. So if you want us to make fun of you on the podcast, send us stupid shit.
So yeah.
Send to us on Twitter. If you tweet stupid shit, I'll just read it. I'll just read it out. I'll be confused about the entire thing, but I'll read it.
So yeah, needless to say, thank you everybody for your continued support. And follow us, subscribe, like us. Those numbers, believe it or not, actually do affect things. So thank you.
This podcast is made possible from listeners like you.
Yep.
I like how this is happening at the same time NPR is doing their pledge week.
Are they?
Like right now NPR is like filling the air with, please donate. Carl Castle will, you know, give you a hand job.
Wow.
Like $1,200, but you know, whatever.
Funny enough, we actually...
it's a high-class escort.
Speaking of how listenership's interactions with us affect episodes and whatnot, we actually had someone write in a suggestion of a conversation we could have.
What?
Mm.
Yeah, somebody wrote in something they would like us to discuss. I don't know why. She's a very nice person. Anyway, so this one's going out to Sarah T., who requested us to talk about art as a form of therapy and recreation.
Dun, dun, dun. We need to bring in like
art can be a form of therapy and recreation. Moving on.
Definitely therapy. I like to smoke that shit all day long.
So, all right. So say you never take an art class. Say you have no real interest in actually pursuing art. Say you're just somebody who has a lot on their mind and they have a pencil and a piece of paper and they just feel like getting it out in ways that words won't.
Yeah, it's always like art as therapy and recreation, I guess. They're always an attempt to answer questions for somebody's personal well-being, to work through a difficult experience, to interact socially as well.
Well, I mean, I know that you definitely when you're... Like, I know for me, whenever I'm drawing or doing anything like that, I'm engaging a different thought process, a different way of thinking entirely than when I'm at work. You know, it's that, I guess, the right brain versus left brain, even though that's not really a real thing, but, you know, whatever.
Yes, they debunked that recently.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's a whole other...
I know a lot of child psychologists will have kids, as they're having their sessions with them, we'll give kids pieces of paper and crayons and just kind of let them draw as they kind of talk or not talk. And for a lot of children, it's a great way for them to work out some of their problems and even kind of communicate visually some of the emotions or some of the events they have happening around them that they can't otherwise communicate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know there's a story that I read. Actually, it's a book that was just put out about autistic children using the non-speaking autistic children. I don't know where that falls in the autistic spectrum of whatever, but these kids don't communicate with words, but instead we're actually communicating by drawing and specifically drawing comics and relating to comic books as their conduit to communicate with everybody. If I remember the name of it, we'll post it on the link for the book. But it was about an autistic kid and his relationship toward sidekicks and the idea of being a sidekick.
Nice.
Yeah, I actually, to kind of further that, read a very gripping story this week for the other podcast, or the other thing I do, No Big Two, called Something Terrible, and it had to deal with child abuse and
I saw your review for that.
Did you?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Like dealing with like the psychology of being a child abused, sexually abused child as an adult, and like one of the ways he dealt with it was by really looking towards things like Batman, and you know, he became a comic book illustrator, and his name's Dean Tripp, and he decided to take it upon himself to work out some of the psychology of the things that happened to him as a child through this book. And he said, you know, I always wish that I could go back in time and like Batman could have stopped this from happening. And he's like, that's what kids look to. They look to fictional characters as a way, fictional characters and real characters such as like cops and firemen and any kind of hero archetype to protect them from the world that is, you know, confusing or scary or, you know, frustrating. And I think that was a really strong message. And I'm going to go ahead and just say, if you have a dollar and you have a heart, go and just download this book. It will blow you away. It's a damn good thing.
If you don't have a heart, seek medical attention. Stop listening right now.
So, yeah.
I'm sorry. That was some kind of shit right there, man.
I mean, okay. I have a statement that kind of ties into that, not so much with the autistic children's studies that were being done.
It was just a segue.
I'm gonna have another mini chocolate bunny.
Those itty bitty bunnies.
Three bunnies and one bite, baby.
Anytime I think of somebody that dabbles in art outside of their career, like their career is not art related whatsoever, I usually equate it with that person working towards discovering an identity for themselves or satisfying a curiosity. Which is absolutely a positive thing. Yeah, that's where the therapy aspect comes from, though. I mean, some people don't become artists until they've fiddled around with it for, you know,
a decade. We've encountered, I know I have, I know you have, I'm not sure if there were any in your program, but people coming back to school who have had full careers as doctors, engineers, architects, coming back to school and studying art. And in some cases it's, I know for me, having them in critiques is always entertaining because they do bring, you know, when I was in college as a, you know, 24, 25 year old, I didn't know dick about the world, but then you've got these people coming in and, you know, bringing their life experience, and in their case, a full life experience, and actually bringing an interesting perspective to their work, something that I know a young artist isn't going to have. I mean, at least from what I notice, a lot of times with younger artists, it tends to be, you know, the view is a little bit more limited in their artwork, mm-hmm. versus an older artist who's had a lifetime of experience.
Yeah, they don't have
influence.
They don't have such a hold on like the importance of concept and stuff with the art.
Which I think
sometimes that can end up being more honest.
Yeah.
Like, the honesty is more sincere through their artwork because they're not so wrapped up in these, you know, preconceptions.
It's something that I until now I hadn't even really thought about the fact that, you know, we had those people in our classes with us that I look back on it now and I realize how important and valued their input was in the conversation. But as a 23-year-old, I've had my head so far up my own ass, I never really realized the importance of having them in the class.
Now, that's funny that you say that, because now I'm kind of wondering, the three of us have always done art probably since we've been able to hold a pencil, but it would be interesting to know what it would have been like if you had come to it after essentially living a life, like you're 35, you're 40, and you just said, I want to try something I haven't done before, and they find a new outlet for it.
They actually find art.
Experience. Yeah.
I mean, because that's, for me, there was never a moment in my life that has been without art.
Right.
For me, I have grown up, my earliest memories are memories of me drawing or playing, cutting up paper, eating glue, whatever. But.
Delicious.
But yeah, there's never a point in my life that hasn't had art. But I think that'd be actually. Do we know anyone we could get on here? I mean, that would be an interesting thing. Kind of that moment of this is something like someone realizing halfway through their life. This is something I need that I didn't have my entire life. That it suddenly is fulfilling something.
I will say
for them.
There's a lot of older folk who don't necessarily come to art, you know, they retire, they've made their empires and they're just kind of enjoying life. They don't necessarily come to art to work out problems or become an artist or even a gallery artist. They literally go to these workshops and do paint by numbers. They want to take classes.
The wine and design.
Exactly that. And
that's what I meant earlier.
With my job for the company I work with, that's 90% of the clientele we're looking at is people who don't necessarily fancy themselves as artists. They're people who fancy themselves as hobbyists, which, you know, I mean, can have, you know, therapeutic sense to it as well.
The thing I will say,
you are now entering the Nerdist.
About people that do that, and you know, the stuff they make is, and it can be hokey and stuff like that, but a lot of the times the classes they sign up for help fund larger art programs. So while what they're creating may not be the greatest stuff on earth, what they're supporting is great. I mean, in a lot of cases, small galleries, nonprofit organizations rely on those snowbirds signing up for those art classes, the paint by numbers, what did you call the paint and wine? What was that? Wine and design. Yeah. I mean, you need those old ladies getting in there with their replacement hips, drinking a half bottle of wine,
doing copies of Van Gogh and.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I mean. In the end, those people's curiosity or boredom, whatever it is that drives them to it, is what helps fund a lot of organizations that allow the younger artists to actually work and create work that they hopefully will be able to make a career off of.
So, George W. Bush, if you're listening, send us some feedback as to what drives you.
You didn't get his email?
No, did you?
No.
I deleted it.
He did tweet me.
I thought it was spam. Something. I don't know which of you sent me the email from the new damn art major's email.
That would have been
But me. I first read it and I was like, this is fucking spam. Am I getting spam?
Ah. I'm pretty sure in the subject line it literally said Udini.
It came across.
What is Odini? Like, is that like a Nigerian prince? I don't know this.
Like, I was scanning on my phone and I just see this. I'm like, oh, what the hell is. Are we getting spam now because he signed us up for Podcast-O-Matic? That's seriously what I thought it was because
it wasn't. No, it was me.
Okay, all right. Good.
There you go.
All right. Next topic.
Oh, wait. I briefly want to pull
topic.
Attention to this real quick. You have a Dr. Pepper magnet on your fridge.
Yes.
And that is a classic, like, vintage Dr. Pepper design. Yes. Yeah. So you see the clock with the numbers 2, 4, and 10.
Yeah, those are the Dr. Pepper times.
Why?
I don't remember.
Well,
Leah can tell you because she's the one that collects Dr. Pepper bottles.
Here's why.
Here she comes.
Leah, do you want to tell why?
That's when you're supposed to drink it. What times of the day?
Why?
To keep your energy up.
Yes, to keep your energy up because of the caffeine. But originally, the original version of Dr. Pepper was allegedly made with prune juice. And so there was like a fraction of it that was prune juice. And so you would drink it at 2, 4, and 10 to help you stay regular.
Nice.
That ties into the snowbirds that support art. So drink your Dr. Pepper, folks. Get that prune. No, wait. No. Yeah. Dr. Pepper doesn't have prune juice in it. Or does it?
No, it doesn't.
We don't know. We don't know it's in Dr. Pepper.
It doesn't, but it does have like prune, like flavored extract.
Caffeine helps things move along too. So, yeah.
I'm actually, funny enough, I finished my beer and I'm moving on to a diet Dr. Pepper right now. Ugh. I can't even tell the taste difference.
What are you
talking there, man?
You'll be able to tell when you're crapping your pants in about 5 minutes.
I love the taste of aspartame.
That's
refreshing.
Yeah.
All right. So, are we moving on to a game? Do we have a game for the week, Dutters?
Boy, are we already there yet? I thought we had other topics.
Do you want to? Oh, do you want to discuss the other topic?
What was it?
Yeah, we can.
Bonus topic?
The Warhol topic or the
game? Go straight to the game.
Well, the game will be quick. We can probably just do it afterwards.
Okay.
Well, hold on, real quick. This is something that I did hear on the radio that I just complete. This is a complete segue from anything that makes sense in the world. It does have to do with art, though. I was listening to the BBC, and they had Banksy is in the news over there again, of course.
Mm-hmm.
They put up a gallery put up a collection of his works that were taken down from where he had illegally put up his works. So they had collected all of his work and they put it up. And Banksy put out a statement, basically. Saying he disapproved of the show, that people need to have permission to put up artwork of artists on walls. Absolutely thought it was the most hilarious thing I'd heard. I loved it. I started laughing, mainly because you had this BBC announcer reading this statement from Banksy, how he was like, this is... Banksy released a statement saying that he did not approve of his artwork being displayed without his permission. Mm-hmm. He believed that all artists should have permission to or all galleries should get permission from artists to show their work.
At the same time, that announcer is probably accidentally buying into Banksy's true intention, which is just to piss people off.
Oh yeah, like I mean, just the whole situation. I'm sitting there in the middle of the shop, you know, running things through a table saw. And I've got my headphones in, and suddenly I'm just like, oh god, that's hilarious. No, that didn't actually happen. But no, I found that whole situation entertaining. It was in the news this week and has to do with art, so I thought I'd share it. But anyway, now, game or Warhol?
Let's go on to the game.
Okay.
We can save Warhol for another time.
Okay.
Right. He can wait. I think do we
feel good though about art therapy and...
I do. I think we covered a lot there.
I think there's more we can like a different aspect of it we can talk about in the next episode.
Okay.
Like when good artists make shitty art for no reason.
Yes.
And when shitty people make good art for no reason.
Yes.
Or when no reason makes shitty people for good art.
No.
Wow.
Or when shit becomes art.
Or when reason becomes
shit. Art becomes shit.
Or reason becomes art. The game!
New Damagories!
Oh, shit, we're back with Damagories.
Because you all are tired of hearing about our childhoods.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people enjoyed Truth Be Told, and who knows, maybe when you get...
I'm a cannibal.
We're running out of ideas, we'll
Aaron's a cannibal.
That.
I learned that all of my friends are dicks, And Adam pisses himself.
Yeah.
That's never going away.
Did not.
Like, episode 100 will be, how many different ways can Adam piss himself?
Adam did not actually piss himself.
Thank you. That's what I've been saying.
At that point in time.
All right, so welcome back to Damagories. A quick refresher on the rules. There are six categories. We will roll a lettered die.
26-sided.
Whatever letter it rolls and lands on will be the answers for each six categories have to begin with that letter. If you get an alliteration, two words that start with the same letter, you get extra points. So if you say Greg's garage, that's 2 points. If you say
Greg's gigantic garage, it's 3.
Sure.
I have no idea what the last word you said was.
Garage.
No, you said something like in
Greg's gigantic
garage. And then you
that's
said
3 points.
Okay.
There you go. Sorry, okay. I had to enunciate.
So we will play some music by me, myself, and I, the band that does the intro music. A little shout out for Phil Wilson there.
Thanks, Phil.
Yeah.
Phil Wilson.
We're still waiting on all those little like music song thing intros for all our games and shit. Come on, Phil, get on that. Tweet us. Tweet. Anyway, so we'll play 60 seconds of the theme music. That way you guys at home can play along with us. We'll roll the die. We'll tell you the categories, and then you can play, and then post your answers to the Podomatic page or to
tweet
the Twitter.
Them.
Yeah,
you can tweet them. Or you can email them to us, and we'll read them out if we think they're hilarious.
Yeah, definitely.
If they're not hilarious, we won't read them. We'll send you a shame email.
You know what?
We won't actually do that.
If you
too much work.
If you submit some answers to us, we will go ahead and we will read them out on the next episode.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe not the next episode, but the one after the next. So, episode 11.
Don't cheat. Please. Or I'll send you a virus through the email.
If they're funny enough, you can cheat.
No, never mind. That's inappropriate.
All right. So, let's go ahead and roll the die. And we got M. Okay. So, the categories are...
You have number one is stripper names. Number two is sandwich names. Number three is make a supervillain.
So non-existing supervillain, make one up.
Number four is things you should not eat. Number five is weird addictions. You definitely did spell that wrong. Number six is a title for the new Nickelback album.
Oh God, there's
hopefully
a
not found in Target's coming this month.
All right, so you got the letter M. Ready, set, go! We're back. Time is up. All right. So we're going to do this. We got the six categories again.
Yeah.
Starting with the letter M.
Who's going first?
Stripper names. Aaron, what do you got?
Shit.
That is not beginning with M.
Stripper names beginning with M. Meringue.
Like lemon meringue?
Like lemon meringue.
That sounds sweet.
I came up with an entire persona.
Oh, God.
We have...
Oh, God.
We have Majestic Mindy and her massive memories.
Wow. I think that counts for four.
That is totally four.
That is
points.
A four pointer. I got Marshmallow Mod.
Ugh.
Dude, where that is that like a truck stop roadside stripper? At least my stripper.
She's a lot lizard. Marshmallow Mod. Nice. All right. Sandwich names.
Meatwad.
Oh, Aqua Teen. What do you got?
Minnow and Munster.
Minnow and Munster?
Hey, it could be a thing.
Gross. Minnow. I got the Meatgasm.
Ugh.
Oh, God. That should be a stripper name.
Yeah. Damn. All right. Make up a supervillain.
Mustard ass.
Oh, what would his power be? To shoot fucking mustard gas from his ass?
Yes.
Oh my God, it'd be like an atomic fart.
It's a biological attack.
Oh my God.
Oh God. Alright, I had the magnanimous murderer.
What, does he use a magnet?
Is he from the 20s?
It's an ironic name.
Oh, what if his knife was magnetic, and so you just pulled into it and like
magnanimous,
and then it's not even really murder.
I don't think you know what the
what
word. Magnanimous, and it's like a person who does things for other people.
It sounds like
helpful.
So nice. They're like helpful and nice. Only he murders them.
Can magnets?
He helps them by killing them.
Can magnets still be involved?
No.
Fine. He uses a magnet to kill people.
Yes.
Magnanimously.
Thank you.
His secret identity is that he's H.H. Holmes.
And I have...
Nobody knows who the fuck that is.
Yeah. Moving on.
Thank you, Aaron, for that obscure reference of the episode.
It's America's first serial killer.
There we go.
Killed everybody at the Chicago World Fair.
I feel like I should know this, but I don't.
Fucking
sorry.
Go.
For me, it started with Jeffrey... It was Dahmer. Yeah, and then...
No, this guy killed, like, above 80 people or something.
Holy goodness.
Well, his name didn't begin with an M, did it?
What was his name?
H.H. Holmes. Triple H. Sorry.
Anyway, well, on a lighter note, my villain is Magenta Manta.
Sounds like a spider name.
it's Black Manta's more fabulous cousin, Magenta Manta. You had a fly on your face, dude.
I felt it.
It just flew right up on you. All right, moving on. Things you should not eat.
Mace.
Windu?
Mustard gas.
Oh, that's kind of a take on Aaron's guy, isn't it?
Basically, don't suck ass.
Micro machines.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no.
Leading the way!
Next topic.
Weird addictions.
Mace.
Oh, whoops, I fucking mixed mine up. Fine, it's fine, because I had for things you shouldn't, anyway, whatever. Weird addictions. Mercury.
Oh, that's a good one.
I said microwaving woodland creatures.
God, man.
It just makes me feel really good.
Yeah.
That's that first sign right there.
It also doesn't hurt that, you know, the fact that I look across Aaron and all I see is a microwave, so.
The thing is,
there is a microwave right there.
I can't fit in there.
And then finally, what's the name of the new Nickelback album?
Must Share the Load.
Oh God. Mine is Massive Meat Munchers.
I got married Avril Lavigne with a follow-up album, Divorced by Avril Lavigne.
Nice. That's a good one.
Yeah. Alright, so we'll tally these up and let's see who's winner here.
Richard wins. Case closed.
Well, he's got like fucking
He started
M's.
Out with 4 points.
All right.
I forgot about that bonus situation.
Three. All right, what do you got?
Six.
I got 9.
11.
Dutters is the winner. So, once again, we want to know...
It's all because of Majestic Mindy and her massive memories.
Thanks,
coming
Mindy.
Coming to stages near you.
What do you got? Just let us know. Tweet it. Post it. All
Email
that.
It.
All that jazz.
Write it on a $20 bill and mail it
Ooh,
to us.
Yeah.
I will be starting a Facebook page very soon, so you will probably be getting harassed. Prepare yourself in the best way.
Yeah. We also have some upcoming guests coming on the show. Hopefully. I know we promised it like 3 episodes ago.
But for our 10th episode, maybe we'll have
Dude,
one.
Dude, we're going to hit the double digits next week. What?
Word things said in deeper voices with excitement after them? What?
It'll be that much harder to type everything.
Because you have to add an extra
yes,
character?
Yes, it was a bad joke. Move on.
Okay. That pretty much brings us to the end of the episode. But you know what? I want to go off script a little bit. I just want to chat with you guys.
We have
I haven't seen you in like 2 weeks. Anything going on? How's the playground thing going on?
Well, that's right. You were killing kids or something.
Now we're...
What?
I am not killing children.
No, you're stealing their memories.
Yeah, I am stealing their memories. Right now it is... They are taking bids from contractors.
Oh, that takes for fucking ever.
Yeah, which will take a while. I'm actually waiting for them to give me the go-ahead, and I'm just going to drive up to that playground with a Sawzall and start ripping out some memories.
But not memories.
Memories, not memories.
Wow.
Work's just been freaking nuts, man. Yeah. I've been a lot of custom projects, a lot of custom woodworking.
Cool.
Fun stuff like that. Some things on the side working on.
Did you just catch a... No.
No.
You're trying to get that fly back.
But yeah,
he was snacking on my forehead earlier.
Yeah. No, it's just been crazy. Did some yard work.
Yeah.
Planted 4 shrubberies.
Both of you guys were out, like, digging in the dirt.
Yeah. Well, I raked the entire house yard.
Do you have the ones in the back slightly taller so you get a nice layering effect?
No. We've only got one line of shrubberies. I'm brought to the shrubbery. What sad days are these that men are assaulting women with the likes of the word knee?
Knee!
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 Wow.
Bring us a heading! Oh. Maybe for episode 250, we will all just read the script of Monty Python's
Holy Grail.
Holy Grail.
That would actually be a really good episode. And then we'd probably get sued.
We could
cease and desist.
Michael Palin would be like, fuck you guys, I want all your money that you don't have.
But that's an idea. We could do an entire episode from like some odd perspective. Like, I don't know.
I thought about if we couldn't get a guest on the show, we could just impersonate a celebrity.
The only thing
we already do that?
There's only
we just have George Takei on the show.
He was actually on the show, motherfucker.
That's what I just said. We just
all right. The only celebrity impersonation I can do is
we paid him a lot of money.
Is what's his name from The Godfather? The Godfather.
Don Corleone.
Yeah, but I can't remember the actor's name. Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
Stella, it's the only. Stella. I can't do this. I can only do the.
You come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding and request these things of me. And yet, you do not even have the courtesy to invite me to your home. When was the last time you invited me and my wife to your place?
Last weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry.
I don't know. I could do some impressions. I wouldn't say I'm very good at them. But apparently I do a mean Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny. But I can only do it when I'm not thinking about it and I'm really excited about something. It's not something I can just make myself do.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah. Like, oh man, Scoob. Like, I'm totally weirded out by this man.
Right, rub you, Rucky.
that's about it for my repertoire.
Do we want to state what we're going to be talking about in the next episode?
What are we going to be talking about in the next episode? What are some of our topics?
I know we're going to talk about the news story of Andy Warhol's lost computer being found.
That's only because we didn't talk about it today.
And everybody's insanity over that.
What do you say, insanity?
Yeah, there's a lot of buzz about it because people are treating it like, you know, legitimate works.
Like, which, they opened up a pirate's chest and there's gold in it.
Well, I mean, my problem...
Are we going to get into it now?
Not to entirely get into it, but just my two cents is my problem with that would be someone like finding my sketchbook and saying, holy God, let's put this in a museum.
Sketchbook from 30 years ago.
Yeah.
We're also going to talk about the Easter egg project that Fabergé is putting on, well, sponsoring, I should say.
Really? Because it'll be like 2 weeks after Easter.
That's fine.
Exactly. That's when they'll least expect it. Well, no one expects the... Yeah, that's
we're literally
copyright.
Telling them to expect it.
It's already over by this point. It ended on April 18th.
I wanted to
buzzkill.
I wanted to talk about the type of fowl that you can own. Because
ducks,
you cannot own a hummingbird. Oh my god, don't you know your bird law?
Did you know? That was good. Did you know that in North Carolina you cannot own animals that are indigenous to North Carolina? You cannot own a squirrel.
Or a box turtle.
Or a raccoon.
Or a puma.
But you can own a plot hound.
But you, and you, not a bobcat. But you can own a tiger.
You can own a bobcat.
No.
Yes, you can.
They're indigenous to North Carolina.
Nope, you can.
What?
Yep. It's a bad idea because they'll rip your fucking face off, but you can.
They told us at the cat place you couldn't own a bobcat.
I've seen people with bobcats.
I know you can own a tiger.
I want to own a liger.
Dude, that's just wrong, man. Like, the poor thing doesn't even, like...
You force them to do it?
Yeah, it's just like...
No, no, people like that. You remember that?
You know what's sad? We can get a lion and a tiger in a cage together, get them to make a baby, but we can't get two fucking pandas to make a child. And that's news.
You can, but then they end up, like, disowning the...
They eat it.
It would be very similar to that scene in this week's episode of Game of Thrones.
Shh.
Dude.
Don't go there.
Spoilers, man. We're not gonna be that show that spoils shit for people, all right?
Nope.
Because that annoys me.
I didn't say anything. Two pandas hump. I mean, they may or may not be related. I don't know.
Dude.
So next week, we're also going to talk about... Or Adam has another tale of the art school.
Yeah.
Is it art, though?
God, it's going to be a whole episode about eggs.
That's fine.
Okay, next week's episode...
Themed
I'll come
eggs.
Up with some spider facts about eggs or something. I don't know.
I'm sure next week's episode is nothing to yoke about.
Oh, God.
It's an egg-themed episode.
Please don't throw egg in our face.
So bad.
Weevils wobble, but don't
hold we really want to do that for number 10?
No. We might have a guest.
We might have a guest,
in which case... The egg thing will be completely scrapped, and we'll actually have questions for our guest about that person's life. But we won't mention who the guest is. It'll be a surprise, because we don't even know when they're going to show up. It'll be a surprise for us! Woohoo!
Will it be Ed McMahon?
McMahon?
He's dead. Isn't he? Should be.
I think he is.
He's like 95.
But that won't stop us.
No. We can dig up his dead fucking body and just set him right here.
Or...
I'll move his jaw.
Or we could jump in the DeLorean, go back before he died.
We'll pull a weekend at Bernie's.
We would do that. We would go back in time, but...
But Michael J. Fox has Parkinson's.
I'm trying to get us out of the damn show.
We would go back in time, but time travel's a bitch.
The next one will be better.